Right, y'all ready? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. So good to be here. Amen. What a good God we serve. So we're going to move right along. We're in our third Torah portion, Lake Laka. And it's Hebrew for go. For go or leave. Or literally, go for you. And so there's so many meanings that this carries with it. And what Jehovah was trying to express to Abram was literally, it's better for you that you go. It's better for you that you go. And, you know, he has a call on his life. And that call that he has, Jehovah has a plan, and the plan that he has in already in motion, it's in motion. From the time Abram was born, it was in motion. He knew that in order for it to be fulfilled in his life, he couldn't stay where he was. He couldn't be involved in what he was involved in. And that included his own family. That's a tough thing. This is tough, this part. Because he called him. And now, that doesn't mean that Jehovah was against his family. But they all had an opportunity to do different. And instead of doing different, Abram's own father got involved in idol making. Now, did he know better? Sure, he knew better. He knew better. And that wasn't what he knew. This guy had some knowledge of who Jehovah was. He had knowledge because he was willing to take his own son and his wife and hide them away from Nimrod. So he knew. But what he did was compromise. When it came time for him to keep his job and to do what he wanted to do, he compromised. And so he was liked by a lot more people, and he had some favor on his life, and he could go and visit the king whenever he wanted to. It was just things going wonderful. But he compromised the commands that Jehovah had given him. And because of that, God called Abram out from there. Because God's plan that he had set in motion to redeem mankind was going to be hinged on the covenant made with Abram. That covenant. And so what a wonderful covenant. We'll see this as this thing unfolds, how powerful it is. When we're dealing with covenants, we're talking about agreements. An agreement between God and the subject. And he makes a promise. And he says, I'll bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you. So he makes a promise, and he's trying to get this promise to all of us. Amen. So in this Torah, we find it in Genesis 12, 1 through 17, 27. And the half Torah is Isaiah 40, 27 through 41, 16. In this week's Torah portion and the topics in the Porsche, Elohim speaks to Abram, commanding him, go from your land, from your birthplace, and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. There, Elohim says, he will be made into a great nation. Elohim shows his great love and devotion to his bride, Israel, still in Abram's loins, saying, now listen, he's showing his devotion to the bride, Israel, who's not even born yet. How incredible. That's why, remember, we're not talking about a God that reacts. God is involved in all the plan-making process of all of our life. The providential care of God, you can't say enough about it, for all of our lives. He's orchestrated every part of our life. He saw to it that four or five years ago, he saw to it. He says, I'm going to turn I'm going to grab you and turn your head in a direction. I'm going to point you and aim you in the right direction. Now you got to go. You got to go. And I'm thankful for that. I'm so grateful. He didn't, this was all in his plan. And it's not just in his plan for us. This is in his plan for everybody, but you got to hear him. And you got to obey him. Because if you think we're the only ones, we're not. He's trying to tell a lot of people, hey, we're going wrong here. He's just like he says to Abraham, Lake Lahav. He's screaming that out. You got to come out from among that mixture. And so we see that here. So Israel's still in Abram's loins saying, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. What a wonderful statement. They're not even born yet. You don't think God thinks ahead? Think about that. And it's so wonderful to me is when I think about it and I just sit and think and pause in these areas and I think about how incredible he is. It's just absolutely amazing. Abram and his wife Sarai, accompanied by his nephew Lot, journeyed into the land of Canaan where Abram built an altar and continued to spread the message of the one Elohim, of a one Elohim. A famine forced the first Hebrew to depart for Egypt, where beautiful Sarai is taken to Pharaoh's palace. Abraham escapes death because they presented themselves as brother and sister. A plague prevents the Egyptian king from touching her and convinces him to return her to Abram and to compensate the brother revealed as husband with gold and silver and cattle. Pharaoh was so thrilled because you have to understand, even though Pharaoh in many ways described himself as a god, he was nowhere close to compare to Jehovah. And he knew what I just did, I just messed up. I took this woman and because of the plague. The plague told him that instantly. It was a plague. And so he knew he just messed up. And so in order to appease the god, the Egyptians would often bring a bountiful gifts because they wanted to make sure that they show they're sorry for their mistake. And so Abraham then leaves Egypt with gold, silver, and many cattle because of it. Back in the land of Canaan, Lot separates from Abram and settles in the evil city of Sodom, where he falls captive when the mighty armies of the Chedorlaomer and his three allies conquered the five cities of Sodom Valley. Abraham set out with a small band to rescue his nephew, defeats the four kings, and is blessed by Melchizedek, Shem, the king of Salem, which is Jerusalem. So all of this is, if you read the entirety of your Torah, you read through these portions, we're not even getting close to none of this tonight. But we got to get it started. And if you miss the beginning, you're never going to get this part when you get to it. The beginning is so valuable to us, because it really sets the tone of what we have to focus on. Elohim seals the covenant between the parts with Abraham. Between the parts is the parts of the animal. He splits the animal, lays the parts out, and he seals this covenant in which the exile and persecution, galut, of the people of Israel is foretold. The Holy Land is bequeathed to them as their eternal heritage. Still childless 10 years after their arrival in the land, Sarai tells Abram to marry her maidservant Hagar. Hagar conceives, becomes insolent toward her mistress, and then flees when Sarah treats her harshly. An angel convinces her to return and tells her that her son will father a populous nation. Ishmael is born in Abram's 86 years. In Abram's 86th year. 13 years later, God changes Abram's name to Abraham, father of multitudes, and Sarai to Sarah, princess, and promises that a son will be born to them, for this child whom they should call Isaac, will means will laugh, will stem the great nations with which Elohim will establish his special bond. Abraham is commanded to circumcise himself and his descendants as a sign of the covenant between me and you. Abraham immediately complies, circumcising himself and all the males of his household. So let's take a look at this. And what I want to do is we're going to have Pastor Josh read Genesis chapter 12, the whole chapter. I don't have that in the slides here, but I want to go ahead and just a little bit change what I'd like to do tonight. We'll read this whole chapter, and then we'll go back and cover whatever we can. It's a short chapter. Genesis 12, starting with verse 1. Amen. So in Genesis 12:1, and Jehovah said to Abram, go yourself out of your land, Lake, for your relatives, from your relatives and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. Now, just that statement alone is going to take some faith. He's going to have to really trust what Jehovah is telling him in order to make this move. So here he is. It's not that he's a guy that's just doing his regular thing and all of a sudden he hears the voice that he's not familiar with. Abram knew about Jehovah. He had studied about Jehovah. He had been trained by the best at that time. And so when the voice of Jehovah came, he knew exactly who it was. So because he knew who it was and he was familiar with who was speaking, what does that do to your faith? You know, if you're just trying to have belief by yourself, on your own mind, it could get very difficult. But he wasn't dealing with his own mind. He was understanding that Jehovah had spoke to him and it moved him. It moved him in a great way. So let's take a look at this. Go out of your land. Verse 1, the name of this week's Torah portion is based on the clear instructions that was given to Abraham by Jehovah. The literal command that was given to him was, go yourself out. Go yourself out. Which in the Hebrew is written as Lech Lecha. This phrase renders the command, you go, or better put, you walk. You walk. It comes from two root words. The first word is lek. Comes from the root word halak, Strong's H1980, which carries the meaning to walk, to live, manner of life, cause to live. And literally speaks of how one lives. It is used as a verb indicating that it is an active expression of one's life. Now, this is very important because this word is used as a verb. Verb means what? You have to have what? Action. You got to be doing something. You can't just say, I got faith. We can't just all sit in our seats and say, we got faith. He's not telling Abraham, stay where you're sitting and say, just say you have faith. If you really have faith, it's time to walk out. Time to make a step and go in this direction I'm pointing you in. Very important because a lot of times we see faith as something that we have that was obtained for us by Yeshua. He obtained it at the cross and I got it and that's all I need. But faith is much more than that. Faith is an action that we take. Faith activated in your life is not really active until you take a step, until you do something, until you let go of whatever you're holding on to. Then you can really say that you're taking a step of faith. Very important, very valuable that we see this. This verb is written in the call active tense and therefore renders the meaning to go, to walk, come, proceed, depart, move, go away, to die, live, manner of life, figuratively. Think about it. Isn't that wonderful? We get all this information just looking at that root word. And the second word is laka, which comes from the root ata, Strong's H859, which means you in the masculine singular form. Who was Jehovah speaking to? Abram. Not nobody else. You got to move. Isn't that amazing? You got to do something. So he's emphasizing it's you. And very important. So sometimes we don't think that ever happens to us. But let me tell you, I remember this happening to me. I remember this happening to me a long time ago. January was cold. It was cold, a cold January evening. And the Lord visited me sitting in the living room in that mobile home trailer, and he said, you got to do something. And I've never been the same since. That day, I unhooked my wagon, and I hooked to his wagon, and I've been pulling it ever since. And I did it by faith. I trusted whatever he promised me, as we went on, he was going to be faithful to it. And God has always been faithful to me. He's always been on time. He's never been late about anything. Even when I wanted it yesterday, he showed me that he could give it to me the next day and it'd be perfectly fine. Because it's Yehovah, amen? So I experienced this. And this is something that is very difficult to explain to people. But if you experience this type of faith, you realize that your heart feels like it's going to burst out of your chest. You can't control it. It's almost like an anxiety attack comes on you, just beating, boom, pounding. And you know it's not anxiety. You know it's you got to do something. You got to make a move, and you know that you can't get out of this. And he drew the line in the sand and said, Abram, you walk. You move. And you go to the place I tell you to go. It's very important. And I tell you what, I'm so thankful that this Torah portion is broke down this fashion, because you get to see that spot that Abram was in. And all of a sudden, as things were going the way they were going, you know, in Abram's mind, maybe this is all I'll know. Maybe this is what church is going to be for me. My dad's an idol maker. And you know, I'm just trying not to be an idol maker. As long as I just try not to be an idol maker, it makes me better than my dad. But he's my dad. And so God says, okay, this ain't going to work. The covenant I'm about to make with you, I got to separate you. I got to get you out of the place you're in. And so what did Abram do when God called him? What did he do? He went in there and bust up the idols. And then he told his dad that he did it. He said, I figured I could do it. Because if they're God, they could put themselves back together again. But we figured that out. They couldn't do anything. They were idols. They were wooden, stone, or whatever they were made of. They couldn't help themselves. And so Abram was trying to prove a point. He says, they can't fix this. We're talking about Yehovah, the creator of everything. And he was dealing with him. And so I want you to understand, Abram didn't receive this call because he was insensitive about Yehovah and what he knew about him. He received this call because he meditated and he patiently waited. He sat there and he waited, and he didn't move until God said move. And when God said move, then he had to kick that faith in that he'd been working on all this time, being taught and trained. He had to actually get up and walk out the door. That was a tough day for Abram. If anybody that tells you it was easy peasy, they didn't step out in faith that I'm talking about. Because it's never easy peasy. It's difficult. Because you know you're about to walk out on everything you ever knew all your life. You're about to let it go. And you're going to put your faith and trust in Yehovah and Him alone. And you're trusting that everything He's going to do in your life is going to be exactly what you have dreamed that He would do. The command that Abraham was given by Yehovah was a clear, very clear one, and that was simply to get up and leave his land, relatives, and father's house. From this clear command, we are able to learn a great deal and see the vital lessons contained in these words that need to be heard clearly today. As the call and command of Elohim to his remnant bride to come out of her, my people, and be made abundantly, it's being made abundantly clear. What is the call to everyone? Come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people. Now, when it says come out of her, what is that her in reference to? So when he says this, where is this found, this statement? So in Revelations, we see that he's calling the people out from the system of Babylon. And he calls Babylon the great whore. Because he's trying to prepare a bride, and he don't want you to be mixed up, because you won't be a clean bride. So he says, come out of her, my people. He can't make it more clear than that. You got to come out. You got to do something. So people say, well, this never happened to me. Well, yes, happening to us in real time, right now. He's calling everybody around the world, come out of her, my people. Come out of her. We have adopted so many things that Jehovah is not going to, he's not going to come and just check this stuff off and say, well, let's put a little blood. A little blood will fix this. Put a little blood of Jesus, it'll fix this. He'll cleanse everything. He just cleanses all of it. No, he says, come out of her, my people. Meaning he, if you think he's just going to come in there and fix what's wrong and you know, paint it with a big, broad stroke of a brush, some Christian veneer on it, it's going to make everything wonderful so we don't have to give up anything. We just keep doing what we're doing and call it Christian. That don't sound like what Jehovah is saying here. He's saying, come out of her, my people. And I want to emphasize my people. So before we come out, he calls us his people. That ought to do something for you right there. So he's not anticipating our failure. He's anticipating our success to listen and obey. Obey what he's calling us. We need to make it very clear that Abram was already at this stage a man who knew Jehovah. He knew him. Very important. He did not just one day suddenly hear a random voice telling him to get up and leave, but rather he knew the voice of Jehovah, and this is important for us to see, as so many today claim to hear the voice of the Creator telling them what they must do while they have no relationship with the Creator and do not walk in his ways. Abraham, again, he's not just sitting there and all of a sudden he hears this voice. He's got a relationship ongoing. He's spending morning and evenings. He's spending all day long communicating with Jehovah. So he's fine-tuned in. So when Jehovah says, okay, it's time, he's ready to move. I can tell you, if you don't spend time working on a relationship, when Jehovah does call you or ask you to do something, or you put in a position where you got to make a decision, you won't know what to do. But when you're in a relationship with him, you know instantly what to do. You don't even have to question it. You know exactly what you got to do. Now, sometimes doing it is painstaking. And doing it is not easy, but you know what you have to do. And you can rest in that. You can relax in that. And there's nothing better when you got confidence in the decision you make when Jehovah calls you and asks you to do something. Your confidence is because of a relationship that you have. You've kept that relationship sound and good, and so you have no doubt whatsoever that it's going to happen. Let me give you an example. If you have somebody that you've worked with for a long time, and they was just and you had a good relationship with them, and you watched them day in and day out, be on time, do what they were supposed to do, and you get in a bind. And you call on that person to come and get you, and they say, I'll be there. You all of a sudden relax. Because you know through the relationship you had, they're coming, and they're going to be right on time. They know exactly where I'm at. They said they know where I'm at. They know exactly where I'm at because I've seen them do it 1,000 times. There's a peace that comes on you to relax because they're coming. But if you don't have no clue who it is, you don't have a relationship with them, and they say, yeah, so-and-so said he'd pass by later and check on you. You got no confidence whatsoever that that's going to happen. And so this is why Abraham had confidence in the voice he heard, because he knew through relationship. This wasn't something that just happened and he just randomly heard a voice. He knew when Jehovah said move, he moved. What this phrasing could also render is walking, you shall walk. That right there is very important. Walking, you shall walk. As it expresses the urgency of walking in line with the instructions of Elohim and how it is through obedience to his word that will cause and enable us to walk out from lies and traditions of man-made systems of worship. When we look at the Hebrew word for walk, In the ancient pictograph script, we can gain a better understanding of that which is required from us as set apart ones of the Most High who walk even as he did. The root word for walk is halak. Strong's H1980 in the ancient pictograph script looks like this. Now, we just had this. So as soon as I saw it, I was quickly reminded we just had it. So it's, here we got repetition of this because he's trying to emphasize something to us. The head in ancient script is a letter pictured as a man standing with his arms raised out. The meaning of this letter is behold, look, breathe, sigh, and reveal or revelation. From the idea of revealing a great sight by pointing it out, it also carries for us the meaning of surrender. As we lift up our hands and submit to Jehovah, as we lift our hands in praise, declaring his authority under which we humbly submit. The Lamed, an ancient script, has this letter as a shepherd's staff. It can give the meaning of to or to warn and can represent that which pushes or pulls a flock in a direction. It can speak of authority or a yoke that is used to lead and guide, as well as the ability to bring back by authority. In the Kaf, an ancient form of this letter is open palm of the hand, the meaning behind this letter, to bend and curve from the shape of the palm as well as to tame or subdue. As one has been bent to another's will under their hand, as an open hand symbolizes submission, this also can picture for us a palm or palm branch from the curved palm shape. The hand also speaks of one's work or under whose hand you submit and obey. As we look at the letters that spell out the root word for that, for walk, we are able to see a great declaration. Behold the staff in the palm. Remember that? Exactly. Behold the staff in the palm. And so, this is valuable to us because he has to see that this is what he's walking into and walking with. So a nomad, travelers at that time, and this is what he was about to become. He was a part of a group of people, and now he's going to be a nomad. What are nomads walking with? They'll have a stick in their hand. And what is it for? It's to help them with balance as they're walking in terrain, different types of terrain. To help them with balance. Many different uses of it. And so I want you to think about how incredible how incredible God is that he, in his calling out, prepares us to make sure that we're ready for the task that's ahead of us. And he shows us that by giving of himself or showing that he is the one that's going to be our stability, the one that's going to keep us, and he's the yoke that we yoke up to, and he keeps us as we go. With the picture of the shepherd's staff and the open palm of the hand, we're able to see the concept of staff in the palm, and we take note that a nomad that travels on foot would have a staff in his hand in order to provide proper support in walking, as well as having a weapon in his hand to defend against predators and thieves. The call that is given here to walk and come out is a call that does come at a price. Amen? It is a call that calls you for you to come out and leave what you know and who you know, even close family, if need be. Leaving the land can picture for us the ability of hearing the call to come out of the things of the world or the flesh, out of the man-made systems of worship. By that I mean man-made systems of worship, practices that have been rooted in pagan traditions. Leaving relatives and family is a clear picture of leaving those people who were your brothers and sisters, so to speak, within the corrupted system. And of course, more often than not, we see how family ties are often cut through the proper heeding of the call to obedience. As the majority of the remnant few who actually heed the call to come out of the falsified and twisted church system and end up losing the close relationship they once had with their family and friends. Abraham was not only told to leave, but he was told to leave all in order to go to that which Jehovah would show him. Leaving all is certainly a huge part of the call to obedience, yet many do not recognize where they are to go to next. And so they often end up forsaking all worship altogether and end up falling into another man-driven system of worship, possibly one that assumes the need to run after rabbinical insight, which they feel are necessary to understand Elohim, which too is a part of the lie and tradition of men that are false and need to be told Pastor Josh I would try it, but it's when I talk is when it gets worse. We are to get up and leave all the false ways of traditional man-made worship in order to follow the truth. And the land which Jehovah speaks of is the land he promised and pictures for us the land where his kingdom rules apply. In other words, we are to get out of the governance of false tradition and lies in order to step into the kingdom of Messiah. As we submit and surrender ourselves to walk according to his Torah and his instructions. So valuable. The Besorah of the good news. Think about this. All is all about the kingdom of Messiah. And his word that equips us to become citizens of, which he came to proclaim and call us into by his coming in the flesh. And as the light of the world, he called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Responding correctly to his clear call will and does cost us our all. And our master Yeshua Messiah tells us in Mark chapter 10, verse 29 through 30. Yeshua said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one," I want you to hear this, "there is no one who has left house, or brothers, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for the sake of me and the good news, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and land with persecution and in the age to come everlasting life." How incredible is that? So he's telling us, and this is Yeshua. He's saying, this is the people that talk about, well, this is not for the New Testament church. Well, it is. He's telling us that there's going to be some decision making you have to make in order for this to happen in your life. And just like Abraham had to make a decision to carry this great call that he carried, we're going to make a decision. Not everybody thought what you was doing or still doing right now when they make a reference, that church, they think you're crazy. But you don't make it because you're doing it for the church. You're doing it because you have a relationship with Jehovah and you know you heard him. And when he said go, you went, you walked, you took that step. You don't do it because the pastor's doing it. You're doing it because you have a relationship with him. And this is the point that he's trying to make here. What you decided to do is not, if everybody else quit on you, you still got the light shining on your life. And you know that you're going to keep his Torah and follow his commands and do what he asked you to do. You've done that because it became real to you. Listen, when you're doing it for somebody else, you're missing Lake Lakau. You're missing the point. Abram wasn't doing it for nobody. He knew that his relationship with Jehovah was clear. And when he took that step forward, he was going to do it with all his might. Get yourself walking away is another way of understanding what Abraham was called to do. As he could not get to where he was called to if he did not leave where he was. Therefore, in order to get to somewhere, you have to leave from somewhere. And the purpose of our leaving is what we are headed for and not what we are leaving behind. What we're headed for. See, when we first started, folks were thinking about what were they leaving behind. And my job was to try to explain to you, it's not what we're leaving behind. Look what's coming. There'll be so much to do, you won't know what you won't. You'll be shocked the stuff you got to get to do. And it's going to be a wonderful thing. And you have liberty when you do it. And you feel so good that you're obeying him. You're pleasing him. So let's get our focus on what we're leaving behind. We don't want to focus on that. We want to focus on we're going to do what Jehovah asked us to do. And we're walking the wonderful things that he's put before us. Amen. Sound fairly simple, yet so many fail to leave that which should be left behind and throw off. And in the process, they end up being mixed and confused. Let me tell you, you don't do the tour halfway and you don't try it. You get in it or you're not in it. It's not a pair of shoes. We're talking about hearing. You know, you try shoes on. Sometimes they feel too tight or they're too loose or whatever, and you get the right size, and that's the ones you buy. That's not what the tour is. You don't get in and kind of get a feel for it and say, well, it's just not my cup of tea. Abraham wasn't leaving because he was going to figure out what his cup of tea was. He wasn't going to compare the two. When he walked out the door, that was over with. He knew that he was following Jehovah, and he was headed in the right direction. He was headed to success. And that's why Jehovah says, I'm going to bless those that bless you, and those who curse you, they're going to have to deal with me. And the same thing goes for you. Listen, as long as you obey Jehovah, you leave the rest up to him. There's some fights that you don't need to be fighting. There's some battles that you need to just end those things because they're not your battles. Jehovah is going to fight them battles, and he'll remove the wagging tongues and unsupported personality and supply you with unlimited laborers for the harvest fields of your souls. That's what he said. Amen? So listen, when you move out, Lake Laka, you don't worry about what's behind you. You're going to have to, this walk has to be the walk that you have with Jehovah. And I know the church kind of gets branded it, but that's okay. And then the pastor gets branded. I'm used of it. That's fine. But I just want you to know that what you're doing is not following me. You have heard the voice of Jehovah and you stepped out because you want the best for your family. That's what you've done. And that's why it's working. That's why you're going to be successful. That's why the blessings of the Lord will be on your life and not contingent upon somebody else. It's you being obedient, you having faith and trusting in Jehovah, what he's asked you to do. Very important. According to the writings we find in the book of Yasher, we are told that Abram's father, Terah, was an idol maker, and Abram had destroyed his father's household idols before leaving and challenged his father by saying, if the idols were real, then they would have been able to save and repair themselves. And so he exposed the futility of his father's idol worship. He said, what you're doing has no merit. There's no merit to this. It's all junk. And you're going to get this. Now, listen. Now, Abraham just tearing up the idols and not moving, what good would that have done? And him not leaving, what good would that have done? Him not walking off and doing something, what good would it have done? Done nothing, no good whatsoever. He had to make a decision to make us to step in the direction that Jehovah appointed him, and he did that. We're also told in the book of Yasher that from the age of 10 to 50, Abraham sat under the teachings of Noach and Shem. Think about that. Noach and Shem. So the book of Yasher, you can go read this in chapter 9, verse 5 and 6a. And when Abraham came from the cave, he went to Noah and his son Shem, and he remained with them to learn the instructions of Jehovah and his ways. And no man knew where Abram was. And Abram served Noah and Shem, his son, for a long time. And Abram was in Noah's house 39 years, and Abram knew Jehovah from 3 years old. Think about that, from 3 years old. Why 3 years old? I want you to see all of these wonderful types and shadows of the life of Abraham as compared to the life of Yeshua. Abraham's born. When he's born, all of a sudden it said, a star appears. And all of the sayers of that time telling Nimrod. Nimrod said, what's this? You know, because they all studied the stars. They all was amazed at all of this stuff. They wouldn't acknowledge that Jehovah is the creator, but they was amazed at it. What's this star? And the seers said, well, what we see is this little star is going to destroy the big star. And what does that mean? He said, well, this smaller kingdom is going to destroy this big kingdom that you created, Nimrod. Man has created a kingdom, but God has a kingdom. He has his son, and his son is coming, and his son's going to destroy the kingdoms of man. Nimrod gets mad at that. He says, well, that ain't going to happen. I'm going to kill him. Yeshua's born. What does Herod say? That's not going to happen. He can't take my kingdom. I'm in charge. I'm going to kill him. See these types? And so Yeshua, his mom and dad has to flee with him. Where do they take him? Where do they go down to? Mitzrayim, yep, to Egypt. And so we see that Abraham is taken, put in the cave, him and his mother, and then they meet up with Noah and Shem. And from his age of three, why is three so important? Because at 3 years old, our children ought to be hearing us proclaim the name. Because their cognitive understanding is now ready to start receiving information at a higher level than we think. We're not talking about reading them little bedtime stories. We're talking about beyond it. We're talking about opening up the Bible and actually reading verses of scripture to them. You have no idea what that does from a 3 year old on up. That's what Abraham. So Abraham knew about Jehovah from 3 years old on up. And so he's got some sound information. And he went in the ways of Jehovah until the day of his death, as Noah and his son Shem had taught him. And you can go read that. You can pull it up and read it for yourself. And it goes on. The story is a whole story. I just pulled out this one section. And so from these writings, we are able to further understand how Abraham could respond with true faithful obedience to the words of Elohim, as he was a man who knew Elohim and guarded his commands. And now it was time to get out from under the influence of idol worship, under the reign of wicked Nimrod, and enter into true and clear promises of Elohim and walk in his reign. And that's what he did. It didn't make no difference. Now, Nimrod was a hunter. Now, that whole Nimrod situation, that whole kingdom was completely against what was commanded. Go out and do what? Replenish. Spread out. What did they do instead of spreading out? They all stayed together and said, we're going to make our own name great. We're going to make a name for ourselves. Instead of letting Jehovah make a name for you. And so what did God do when he called Abram? He changed his name to Abraham. He said, I'll make a name for you. You're going to be a father of many nations. And so we see that wonderful picture of when God does it, or we do it. We can have success. You can have success. Were they successful? Absolutely they were successful. Man can be successful outside of Jehovah. There's no doubt about it. It happens all the time, every day in the world. People reach success and they reach goals and dreams on their own without the help of Jehovah. But when Jehovah decides to let man be released to his own devices, I can assure you that what good would it do to gain the whole world and lose your soul? And he shows how the fertility of man and man's dreams are when it comes to what he has promised. The call is the same for us today, which is simply this. Get out of the Nimrod worship system of paganized sun worship and step into the reign of the kingdom rules of Messiah, our Savior, and Master and King. Simple. It's simple to say it, but it's not simple to do it. Because when the doing comes, we got to do the doing. And we got to make some decisions that are not popular. Sometimes they downright seem silly. People don't understand that. They go, what's that? You know, just the other day. So I explained to the man what this was. Just yesterday. I explained it to him again. It was them bells hanging from you. And I didn't hear him ding all day, but he called them bells. That's what he thought. And so I explained it to him. He says, you know what? I'm familiar with what you're saying somewhat. But listen, people don't realize that when you do things Jehovah's ways, it sets you apart. You're not trying to set yourself apart. You're just saying, doing what he said to do. And he says to do it, it sets you apart. And so this is what's so amazing about it. A true Hebrew is one who crosses over. What did Abram do? When he left, what did he do when he left? He crossed over, made him a Hebrew, a true Hebrew. It's what it means to cross over. And this always comes at a price and is risky at first sight, as one does not always know what is on the other side. And the true Hebraic mindset is one of recognizing that knowing and understanding comes in the listening, obeying, and doing of the instructions of Elohim. To me, that's a profound statement right there. It's so powerful. I'm gonna read it again. Now, in the true Hebraic mindset is one of recognizing that knowing and understanding comes in the listening, obeying, and doing of the instructions of Elohim. That's how you say, I don't understand it. When people constantly say, well, I don't understand this. I can tell you why you don't understand it. Because you're having trouble with the listening, obeying, and doing. That's why you don't understand it. Because the moment you get your listening, obeying, and doing down, you'll start to understand that it's Jehovah that's commanding, not me. It's him that's telling you what you have to do. And you have to listen to what he says. Let me put it real big and plain for you. Hear, guard, and do. Now we know that Abram was hearing because he was being taught by Noah and Shem. Shem is who? Melchizedek, the king of Salem or king of Jerusalem. And who did he pay a tithe to? He paid a tithe to Shem, Melchizedek. Think about that. So is he hearing what he's saying? Yes, he's hearing. How would he know to pay the tithe to him if he wasn't hearing? He knew it because he was learning. And he was guarding it. He was looking at it every day and he was guarding. Am I doing this? 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 If I'm not doing it, I need to be guarding it. I got to be doing it. I got to make some changes. What's preventing me from doing this? I got to stop it. You guard it because you see it as being serious. You see it as being important. You guard it. You don't just go into Walmart, take your wallet out, you got $1,000 in it, and just throw it down the aisle and say, I'll come back and get it in a little while. Yeah, you're going to get it in a little while. You're going to get the bad news. You guarding it. You know, years ago, I started putting my wallet in my front pocket. I figured if somebody's going to take it, I'm going to fight them for it. We're going to at least swing a little bit. It ain't going to be back here where I won't know what happens. You know, we went to SeaWorld one time and they had this guy in a little booth set up. And me and my wife was in. I said, let's check this dude out. You know, he was doing some stuff, you know. He had coins and he made the coins disappear. I know what he did with the coins. Anyway, he's talking to us and we walking off. He said, you want this? He had my wife's watch. We had no idea he took a watch. I'm not kidding you. He said, y'all don't want this? I went, you got to be joking me. Nobody seen him take the watch. And it was a band watch with the buckle. He took that watch off. We had no clue he took it off. I mean, this dude will steal from me. You won't even know you. You get home and say, man, I thought I had this. Where is it? He's eating the pizza or something with it. He had no idea he took it. That dude was good, okay? I said, let's leave him alone. Get my watch back. I'm checking everything after that. I mean, I'm checking. I'm saying, man, he might have took all my stuff. I had no idea he took it. That's how the enemy is. He takes stuff you don't even know he took it. He takes your joy. You don't even know why you're sad. You don't even know why you got anxiety. Because he'll take your joy and you won't even know he did it. So you got to guard this stuff. If you're on your guard, it's so after this guy did that, I was watching everything. You know, you see the next boot and you watch that guy, you walk like that. You don't tell him what he's going to take. You're guarding it because it's valuable to you. Not only you guard it, you do it. You got to do it. What did Abram have to do? He had to do something. You walk. You walk. Start stepping. What's that? How they say get to stepping? Well, it's time that we get to stepping. Amen. If we're going to, we can't talk about Jehovah is this and Jehovah is that. And I love him and I want to do, I'm going to do it. Well, you got to get to stepping. If you're talking about how good he is and you got to get to moving in the right direction. Because the Torah does what? It aims us. You got your aim down, but you got to move in that direction. Very important. When at first the coming out of sun worship system of worship and keeping a false pagan rooted feast, one does not always fully understand what the Sabbaths of Jehovah is all about or what his feasts are all about or what it means to dwell in tents for seven days means until we actually do it. We know about all this because it was all foreign to us. We had no idea what this meant. But the moment we started doing it, I don't know how you ever would go back and not do it. It's that wonderful. It's that satisfying. It's the thing that it's like you ever had something you worked on for a while and you completed the task and you go, man, I'm so glad that's finished. This is what, to me, it's what it is. Like you're completing tasks and you got another one. You complete the task and you got another one. And you get to fulfill these tasks. It's not that you can't fulfill it. He don't put it in front of us impossible for us to do. He's not trying to set us up for failure. He said, this is like today. Coming tonight, I'm completing a task. And I get here tomorrow, I'm going to complete another task. It's going to be wonderful, and I can't wait. And it feels so good. You go home, and if I want to take a nap tomorrow, I can. I think I will. And when I get up, I say, I just completed a task. Thank you, Jehovah. Amen. For therein lies the knowing, as one applies the obedient action of doing what is commanded by faith, which is the active expression of loving obedience in following the clear instructions as given in his Torah, for then knowledge and understanding do what? Increase. Knowledge and understanding is automatic. It increases. Did it go out? Abraham was not given the full detail of what he was walking toward. Yet he was told what to leave. We also see this pattern being established for us too. As we can learn from Acts 15, where the nations were turning to the Torah and entering into the covenant of promise by the blood of Messiah. We're clearly told what to stop immediately and then were instructed to go every Sabbath to where Moses was read. And I won't have time to do the 15th chapter, but I encourage you to. I went and read it. It's so powerful. That whole story in the 15th chapter is so powerful. So I'll encourage you, as something to read during Sabbath tomorrow, read Acts 15. And you'll see what they were up against. We're talking about the New Testament church. We're talking about detailed stuff that they were up against going through this. And they were commanded to go where the Torah was read. Where was the Torah being read? In the synagogue. Wherever it's being read on Shabbat, you go there. And so say that we don't have Shabbat today. When you read Acts 15, it makes absolutely no sense at all. But then you didn't see it. It didn't even cross your mind. But thank God we're just sitting there, and it's through our relationship with Him that He spoke to us, Lake Laka. Move. Walk out. It's time to go. How many thank God for that? I tell you what, I've been thinking about this all day. I can remember the day it happened. And the Lord, it's so wonderful. It's so, He's so mindful of us. So I take some time to look at that Acts 15 where the nations were turning to the Torah and entering into covenant of promise by the blood of Messiah, were clearly told what to stop immediately and then were instructed to go every Sabbath to where Moses was read. In other words, they were told to stop all of their pagan root form of worship immediately, and then they were instructed to go every Sabbath to hear the Torah. For this is how they would learn to walk in truth and have all lies properly stripped away in the process of hearing and guarding and doing the commands of Elohim. Listen, I can't give you an instruction manual. I can't write an instruction manual and say, this is what we ought to be doing here. People ask me all the time, what about this? And I always tell them the same answer. I probably told you the same answer. It don't matter what I think. What is Jehovah telling you? Because if He's telling you that and He's telling me that, we both heard the same thing. So sometimes people want something interpreted so it justifies a behavior. I'm not in the business to interpret the scripture. I'm here to deliver the message just like it was delivered to me. And what is He telling you? Some people say, well, should I do this? Well, what is He telling you? Well, He's telling I shouldn't. Well, then, don't. Why are you asking me? You know, you want me to be on the hook for it because Pastor said. You know what Pastor's saying? He's reading the word to you. That's what he's saying. And I'm going to do what it says, and you got to decide whether you're going to do what it says. And I can't make you do it. I told you in our Wednesday night little sidebar Bible study we had, I can't tell you what to do, but I can tell you what it says to do. And this is what it says to do. You do whatever you want, but you're going to get a result of what you do. And if you're hearing and guarding and doing what Jehovah says, you will be blessed. That's the bottom line. That's what He promised. And if He don't, then He lied. Think about that. And God is not in the business of lying to nobody. He's going to do what He said. And we just got to, if you want to prove Him now, start doing what He said, hear Him, guard it and do it, and let Him. And so I started doing, how long you been doing it for? A day? Well, can you give Him a week? It's like we want it instant. I mean, we start doing what He said to do. We want it instant. You know, it's like eating what's good for us. Eating what we need to eat. Well, we ate for 50 years. We ate what we wanted to eat. And we think, now I'm eating clean. It ought to be perfectly fine now. Well, you got 50 years to undo. It's going to take more than one meal. But you got to start with one, and one goes to two, and two to three. Before you know it, you're a couple years in this thing. Now you're getting somewhere. Now He knows that you're serious about it. And you're watching carefully to make sure that you're staying clean. And what do you expect? We expect to walk in healing. We expect God's hand to be in our life. Amen. Longer life. We thank You for it, Lord. Oop, I went twice. When leaving behind the inherited lives of our fathers handed down through twisted tradition that are rooted in pagan worship, we must realize that we have a destination, and that destination is the kingdom of Jehovah. And what we often find today is that there are many that may indeed acknowledge and recognize that they need to get out of the church system. yet fail to see their need to follow the plain truth of Scripture. And therefore, many often fall into the trap of seeking an interpretation of the Scripture. Instead of simply obeying the Scripture as it is written, and by doing so, many who leave the traditions of Christianity behind find themselves trapped in the mystical deception of rabbinical Judaism, which is just as poisonous as the inherited system of lies from which they have come out of. And I taught this subject about the pendulum swing. I said, you have to be careful. How many was in those teachings? Be careful, because you're going to be no different. He's trying to line us up straight. He's trying to tear down the wall of separation and bring about a person that he has created. There's no Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, but the one new man. That's what this is all about, and that's what Yeshua died for, the one new man. How many want to be the one new man? Well, the one new man can't be the one new man unless he's hearing, guarding, and doing what Jehovah says. That's what makes us that. Because we actually believe that what he says matters. We are to walk in truth, seek the truth, and simply obey the truth, and allow his Spirit to bring the clear understanding in our doing of his command. What was credited to Abraham as righteousness was his obedience to the instructions of Elohim, even when it cost him his land, friends, and family. And let me tell you, obeying Elohim is a cost to it. There is a cost to it. And sometimes we want the blessings of Elohim, but we don't want to pay the price for it. Sometimes we're playing get embarrassed about it. And we have to get past that. We really do. Because there's nothing to be embarrassed about when he asks you to do something that's a bit odd. It's odd because the world's never participated in listening to him before. It's odd because the church is not participating in it. It makes you look like, man, y'all are oddballs. How many know it gets easier and easier the more you obey? To me, it got easier. You know, I was getting calls like this. Do you care that we are having these family problems? They think we're crazy. And of course, my answer is, well, sure, I care. Well, you want me to say, no, I don't care? I said, exactly, you got me right. I don't care. That's your problems. I didn't say that. Yeah, I care. But I had to do the same thing. You're not talking to the guy that's not doing the same thing. But are you going to stand up for what Jehovah has called you to do or not? You know, Abraham could have got on his soapbox and said, well, God, do you care? What are you asking of him? He didn't do that. He knew. He'd been trained all his life for the day he got called. All of his life he's been trained. And the reason he was willing to do what he did, because of a relationship he had already established. He knew who Jehovah was, and if Jehovah asked him to do it, he had faith enough that he was going to do it in his life, just like he said. And that's what gets so hard. It's when your relationship is shaky and you're making these moves. Everybody that had real, real problems because they had a shaky relationship when we got started. Some relationship was so shaky, it shook them clean out of here. And that may seem funny, but it's not funny, because it's because of a bad relationship that you can't hear them for yourself. So you're thinking, well, they're only doing it because you're saying it. If that's why you're doing it, you miss this whole thing. You're doing it because you know that Jehovah, You've been trained for this all of your life. He's been preparing you. And then he gives the command, Lake Laka, and you got up and you walked. You took a step. And that faith increased in your life. And the more you let go of those chains and those pagan ideas, you got freer. And you realize that now when you go to pray, it seems more real. Something's about it. There's something going on here. And that you let that grow and you'll see the power of God move mighty. So you walk, we walk, we are to walk in truth, seek the truth, and simply obey the truth and allow His Spirit to bring a clear understanding in doing of His commands. What was credited to Abraham as righteousness was his obedience to the instructions of Elohim, even when it cost him his land, friends, and family. Let's go to the second verse and see if we can finish this in my 10 minutes card. And I shall make you a great nation and bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I don't know about you, but I want that on my life. I want, Jehovah, when I wake up every morning, He'll say, Jesse, I shall make you a great nation. I shall bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I don't just want to pray for blessings. I want to be a blessing. That's been my prayer. Here lately, my prayer has been, Lord, I want you to do in my life so I can be a blessing to other people. I want to be able to bless without no restraint whatsoever. I can bless. When you say bless, I can bless. And that's something that we should all be praying. Don't just pray for your blessing. He knows He wants to bless you, but I want to be a blessing. How many want to be a blessing? How many would like to be a blessing to people, no matter who they are? When God says bless them, you can bless them. You won't have to worry about it taken from what you have. You don't have to worry about it being, I don't know if I should, man. You none of that we worried about. You know that you have it. And you're able to be a blessing to somebody. That should be a prayer that we pray. Obedience brings the blessing. And here we see a powerful promise being given to Abraham in that Jehovah would make his name great and cause him to be a blessing. In total contrast to the Tower of Babel, where men tried to make their own name great and got scattered, here Jehovah gives Abraham the assurance of establishing him and his seed as a people and as a result of his obedience. You know, when we establish ourselves, we're going to be partial to ourselves. We're going to be partial to the people we're establishing with. That's what man does. We're looking out for ours and our own. But Jehovah, when He establishes you, there's no partiality there. He wants to establish you so you can be a blessing to other people. And He'll make your name great. Man's idea is we got this. And that's why our society is in the shape it's in right now. We got the best answers. We know exactly what we need to do in order for this nation to be successful. Well, it sure don't seem like it's being very successful right now. Because we got all the answers. They got no answers. The problem is they got no answers. The only answer for America is we got to get back to what Jehovah said. And let me tell you, when is that going to happen where you actually have a voice to speak into people's life to say, this is the problem right here. This is what fixes it. It seems like that's very far off, doesn't it? Galatians 3, verse 6 and 9 through 9. Even so, Abraham did believe Elohim, he did believe Elohim, it was reckoned unto him as righteousness. Knowing then that those who are of belief are sons of Abraham. And the scripture having foreseen that Elohim would declare right the nations by belief, announced the good news to Abraham beforehand, saying, all nations shall be blessed in you, so that those who are of belief are blessed with Abraham the believer. Now, can you imagine the kind of weight that was just put on Abraham? All nations will be blessed because of you. Of you doing what? Hearing, guarding, and doing is how all nations will be blessed. Well, what you do? Is it important by what we do? What about in the home? Let's look at the home structure. We got a dad, we got a mom, we got the children. Is it important what dad does? You better believe it's important. If he's not hearing, guarding, and doing, he has no expectations. It's all false if he thinks his wife's just supposed to get it or his children are supposed to get it. He has a responsibility as the head of the home to hear, guard, and do. When he's doing it faithful day in and day out, then he has expectation because it's going to pass on to his children and his family. Very important. And that's what Abraham's responsibility is. The father of many nations. The father of many nations. What he does is going to matter. So he can't be squirrely, wishy-washy, in and out, can't make his mind up. He's got to know what he's talking about and got to do it by faith. So the Greek word that is used here in verse 6 for belief is pistis, Strong's G4100, which is a verb that means to trust, to be committed to, be entrusted with, be persuaded, and place confidence in, to do. Comes from the root noun, pistis, Strong's 4102, which means faith, faithfulness, pledge, conviction of the truth, which in turn comes from the primary root, pytho, Strong's G3982, which means to persuade, to put confidence in, to follow, have confidence, and rely upon. When looking at these root terms, it is very clear, even in the Greek mindset, that to believe involves action and a confident response to the one you put your trust in and follow. It's not just, I believe in Jesus. He did it all for me. I don't have to do anything. People call that faith. What are you doing? I ain't doing nothing. I don't have to do nothing. Can you see that person ever growing in God? Because you got to take some stand. You got to take a step of faith. You can't say, well, can you continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid that. You don't keep doing what you was doing and I got the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you, that stuff is squirrely. It'll get on you, stay on you for years. I had a guy the other day told me, he said, man, I've been serving God since I was 15. And he started telling me these weird things about and I'm looking there, and the guy with him goes behind him. So I made my exodus. I got out of there. Well, I can't. But in his mind, he's saved. In his mind, he was saved. I said, well, I don't know where you're getting this stuff from, because I've been studying the Bible for a long time, and I didn't see none of that, what you just said. And that's when that guy went. But he's looking for somebody. He said, you a preacher? Ain't you a preacher? I said, yeah, I'm a preacher. He said, well, I got a Bible question for you. How many of you know what a Bible question that you say it's a Bible question, but there was nothing in the Bible that you're questioning about? Because he asked the question. I said, okay, what part of the Bible you got that out of? Because I ain't never seen that. Then he started telling about these angels and telling him his life's good. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep sinning. Keep doing whatever you want to do. You're going to be fine. I got you covered. Let me tell you, when an angel's telling you that, I'd be careful what that angel is. Because I don't really know where he's telling the angel to go tell you, you're good. You'll be all right. That's what people is looking for. But listen, you got to do more than just have faith. You got to put it in action. We're looking at these root terms. It's very clear that even the Greek mindset, to believe involves action and a confident response to the one you put your trust in and follow. Abraham did exactly that. He trusted in and had total confidence in the word of Elohim and obeyed it even while it cost him his land, relatives, and close family. That's what he did. Amen. Well, we need to stop. I probably needed to stop 40 minutes ago. but we made it through it. Thank you, Lord. Somebody prayed for me because I felt when it kicked in. I kind of got by for a few minutes. Thank y'all. So in the morning, Pastor Josh will continue. And we're going, listen, we're trying to go as fast as we possibly can, but there's so many nuggets that if you started out wrong, now you can take it from here. You can take it from here, you can read the rest of it, and on purpose, you're gonna stop at these points that catch you, and you'll be able to study it completely through. So thank God for you. Appreciate you. Anybody here need prayer?